Welcome to Smashy Business Show. I am Warid Ahmed.
And I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
Today we are going to be talking about Saudi Arabia preparing for FIFA World Cup 2034 with 15 groundbreaking new stadiums. This momentous development is not just about sport. It symbolizes a remarkable transformation in a country with a history of conservatism. Just a few years ago, Saudi Arabia was known for its stringent social policies, but began to open up in 2017 with the lifting of the 35-year cinema ban. In 2018, women were finally allowed to drive, and by 2019, music concerts were making their debut. Now, this is a story, it's not just about sports, it's about modernizationness, openness, and diversification.
To be honest, yes, the first World Cup, to give you some perspective of how a World Cup will play out in the Middle East, we have to talk about Qatar 2022. They hosted the World Cup. They put in $220 billion into infrastructure development, 7 new stadiums. One of the stadiums they refurbished for the World Cup. So they spent nearly $220 million and they only earned $1.56 billion in revenue. So that's like a lot of investment, but a very little return in terms of money. But what a World Cup will do for Saudi Arabia, what we have seen in Qatar, and what we have seen throughout the history of World Cups, it opens up the country to the world.
Yeah.
It opens up tourism opportunities. It opens up the country to the world to see what are the other industries in that country. So when a tourist comes, and whenever a person who loves a sport comes, obviously he will visit historic places and all the famous places, all the food eateries. And that injects a lot of money, not throughout the 2-month period the World Cup happens, but also after. So the World Cup, its importance is for modernization as well. Culturally, it's very relevant, but economically, strictly economically, it gives you a lot of opportunity in the next 5 years to open up the doors and welcome as many people as possible through tourism.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you because, you know, I'm not somebody who likes football, by the way. I don't like football, but I watch the World Cup. So we all know that when the World Cup comes, the entire world is watching.
So football is considered like one of the most beautiful games in the world. It's called the most beautiful game in the world. It's very simple to play. That is why it has become such a big phenomenon in the world. You see other sports, economically, they're not viable. Playing cricket requires a ground, stadium, infrastructure. Football only requires a green pitch and a football and most probably 22 players, 11 players each side. So economically, it's viable. It's very easy to organize in terms of the game. But other things, the fan zones, the residences where the tourists who will come, the fans who will come, the dignitaries, VIPs who will come, the officials who will come, creating an infrastructure for them is very important also. Creating an infrastructure for the fan zones where people can watch the matches, that is very important. What we've seen in the bid book that Saudi Arabia has published, they have a plan of 15 stadiums.
It's
That's not
insane.
Just like 7 or 8 stadiums that Qatar did. They have a very big plan, again, in line with their Saudi Vision 2030. So what will happen is 15 stadiums, and one of them is very smartly placed in NEOM. NEOM is the most famous, most in project at the moment for Saudi Arabia. And they've placed a stadium strategically in that city, in that near future city. So that's a good plan by Saudi Arabia, to be honest. What I've seen is that they've given Riyadh a lot of importance. Out of the 15 stadiums, 8 stadiums are going to be in Riyadh and 4 in Jeddah, 1 in Abhor, 1 in one of the cities is, I always forget the name, Khobar. Khobar and then NEOM. So 15 stadiums in total, that is not the only thing again. Economically, it's a mammoth project that they've taken over. We discussed yesterday as well that they are most probably going to host it because all the other parties have like logged up. We're like, we can't do this thing. So let's see. Hopefully, Saudi Arabia, will the modernization, again, the point that you made, the path that they're going on, most probably it will help Saudi Arabia become a more modern country, where they'll attract more capital from the markets. The people are already setting up their headquarters in the country. So offices are going there. Real estate projects in the country are already doing great. So Saudi Arabia is becoming the most important country in the region. It already is. GDP-wise, it's the biggest country in the region, in the Middle East region. Then there's Dubai, UAE, and then there, city-wise, it's Dubai. So let's see. Hopefully, this World Cup will be a very big thing for Saudi Arabia.
I definitely agree with you. And, you know, you mentioned this point of how Saudi Arabia, it's going to become a more modern country by hosting the World Cup. And I think that's a very interesting point, but I see it in another way. Like, for example, you know, when Qatar hosted the World Cup, they banned alcohol.
Yeah,
and at first they received, you know, multiple criticism for it. But really what it led to is people, you know, respecting Arab culture more, respecting Muslim culture more. I think that what this will really lead to is people appreciating Middle Eastern culture more, the Islamic culture embedded in it.
Culturally, to be honest, yes, it's a very good thing. Qatar showed the world that without alcohol in the stadiums, the matches are better. And it's not just about catering to the male strata, mainly football. Everyone, whenever we say football, everyone thinks about men going crazy over goals and attacks and defenses. But women are getting more and more involved into sports as well. We've seen that throughout the last decade. So Saudi Arabia has their own national team, women's national team. So it's good for the world to come, see the hospitality, enjoy the hospitality, and learn more about the region. The region, to be honest, has always been under limelight for the wrong reasons. And Qatar they broke the idea that Middle East is, oh, it's dangerous, there's human rights problems there. It opened the world, it showed the world how good the people are, how safe the countries are, how safe Middle East itself is. So hopefully everything will be great. It's still 10 years away, but the build up has been great. The bid book, to be honest, you look at it, you can download it from the official site. They have an official bidding site as well. So they're really into it. So this shows that Saudi Arabia is really serious. Now the world, when they come to Saudi Arabia, already I have some numbers here with me. Already they had like 16 million visitors in the last year, international tourists coming to visit places. Mm-hmm. So obviously an influx would be good for Saudi Arabia, would be good for the region. Let's hope people understand that Middle East is not a country with the wrong notations. It is a country which has a very, very old cultural history. The people are great, to be honest here.
Yeah, and you know, I just have a specific question for you. What specific business opportunities do you think will arise out of Saudi Arabia possibly hosting the World Cup?
See, the hospitality industry will open up. There will be more hotels and everything. The trade industry, because people come, eat, travel. So the transportation industry will open up. Saudi Arabia, we saw in Qatar. Again, I always go back to Qatar because that's like the template that Saudi Arabia will use. Obviously, they'll try to do it on a larger scale, but that is the template they will use. So more opportunities, job opportunities will open up. So it's great that hospitality, retail, manufacturing, rate, it's not just one industry. Saudi Arabia will have to cater to like 10, 15 industries just to make this two-month event happen.
Yeah, you pose a really good point because, you know, that's diversification right there for you. They're not just going to be relying on being an oil-rich Gulf anymore. They're going to be doing more than that. And moving to our next topic, what has happened is that the famous internet personality, Hassan Sejwani, retweeted a post from the CNBC saying that Dubai is going to be welcoming more millionaires from the UK. And what happened is that Elon Musk tweeted back saying that Dubai is winning.
To be honest, he is 100% correct. If you look at the numbers again, I did a little bit of research. What we saw, that Global Wealth Migration Review, it's a report that is published yearly. It showed that Dubai has seen an influx of high net worth individuals, with more than 2,000 millionaires moving to the city in 2022. So in 2022 alone, 2,000 millionaires moved to Dubai. And again, If you talk about the ease of doing business, that's also a report done by the World Bank organization. Dubai always ranks in the top 10. If you talk about real estate market, which is a very big market right now in Dubai, the real estate market did 300 billion in 2022. So again, everything that you see in Dubai, specifically Dubai and overall in the UAE, everything is growing. So millionaires, obviously, they have millions of dollars. So they want to come to this city. They want to invest in all the things that they can. And they want to earn more. Obviously, they want to become billionaires some days as well, right? So it has become a hotspot for millionaires. And there was this part of the story which everyone ignored, that most of the millionaires are moving from UK and London. And it's because of the stringent business policies there. A lot of things are...
Tax
reforms are there. So moving away, coming to a city which has great tax structure, no tax on salaries. That's the good part. And you can literally set up a company in less than 2 weeks and start doing business. So Dubai is the future business hotspot for the world, not only for the region, for the world.
But do you think all residents are going to be happy about that, like middle class people? Because the more rich people are moving to the UAE, the more expensive the quality of life will be.
This is the best thing that I like about Dubai and UAE overall. Whenever there is an influx of tourists, they have policies in place. They already are being proactive in their policies, the government. They always plan in front. Recently, we saw that due to rain, the metro had some problems, but they were very proactive. They found solutions to it. Within like 24 hours, the metros were running again. So for everything, Dubai always has a plan. And a proactive plan, a preempted plan. It's never a reactive plan. So with more people coming in, more millionaires coming in, and even if middle class people, even if people like coming from South Asian countries, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, they always have some plan for them. Because if one person moves, he has to have a house, he needs electricity, he needs water, he needs gas. So if you see, if you look closely at Dubai, they always have a plan. That's the best thing I can say.
Plans always work?
Yes. 99% of the time, I've seen that Dubai's plans always work. We saw, again, I was giving you the example of the metros. As soon as the rains happened and Dubai saw a few problems for a week, they announced a multi-billion dollar sewage system plan. So they already had it. It was going through. But if 1% of the time they don't have a plan, they quickly come up with it and start working on it.
I definitely agree with you. Even when the IT outage due to the Microsoft update happened, people were very happy with Emirates Airlines because they were able to deal with the problem very quickly. Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to tell you one or two more things to justify Elon Musk's comment, because we want him to be right. We want him to say again that Dubai is winning. We want him to say Abu Dhabi is also winning. We want him to someday say that UAE is winning. Dubai's GDP has grown in the last years at least by an average of 4.5% every year. If you see the number of visitors, they're increasing every year. So tourism is booming. So why wouldn't anyone want to be here right now?
Of course, I definitely agree with you in that sense. And I think we also have to acknowledge that the city that is achieving all of this, it's a small city. You know, it doesn't have the sheer capacity that like big cities like London and New York have. You know, how is a small city like this achieving this much? How is it winning this much?
Trust me, it's all about leadership. A good leader in a good organization and a good leader in a good country, or a good leader of a good city, they always take it a notch further. They always build it like anything else.
Yeah.
And they always lead by example. So we've seen that the rulers of the UAE, the rulers of Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah, all the rulers of all seven Emirates in the UAE, they're very, very nice and they're very coordinated in planning. Mm-hmm. The people working in the government, everyone, you meet anyone in Dubai, to be honest. You meet anyone in the UAE, they're always smiling, always there to help you. So this basic attitude of happiness, positivity, that's also a contributing factor, to be honest.
Yeah, Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And you know how you said, like, everyone in the country, they're always helping, you know, they're always there for you. Let me just give you a story. I remember when I was 18 and I had just started working at this retail store. I remember that in one of my first shifts, my manager sent me to go get change. Like, they handed me, like, wads of cash and they said, okay, go get change. And, you know, obviously, like, being an 18-year-old, a shy 18-year-old, I was like, where do I go? I'm not used to, I know it sounds really simple, but I'm not used to frequenting these places. And, you know, I remember I went to, like, a bunch of cash exchange spots. And then I remember I went to this one spot and I was just standing there, standing in the line of 10 people. And I remember this man approached me. He said, are you trying to get change? Random man, I don't know him. And, you know, he told me, why don't you go to the Wall Street, go to this one. And then on my way out, and he went like, come here. And he gave me a fist bump. And then I just went on my way. And I really do notice that, like, in this country, when you're in trouble, people do come to help.
You see it and every day on the road.
Yeah, that's
true.
If
the car is stopped, people will come to help. If there's a brick on the road, people will come to help. If there are animals on the road, people will come to help. So these things, when highlighted, obviously they attract the high net worth individuals, the millionaires, because everyone wants safety and security. Even if they're not married, even if they're married, they want safety and security for their wives, children.
Yeah.
That's the family dynamics that we always talk about. So whenever you're thinking about moving to a place, you always look at all these factors. And Dubai, it's perfect. Numbers-wise, it's perfect. And quality of living-wise, it's more perfect.
Yeah, and you know, you also mentioned something very interesting, how, you know, all the cities in the UAE and who they're ran by, you know, all the cities in the UAE, they don't have the same rules. They're not governed by the same rules. And I think that's something very special. I looked into this book, it's called Poor Economics, and they spoke about something known as charter cities.
Oh.
And essentially what it discussed is that, you know, running a country may be difficult. However, start with cities small enough to be manageable, but large enough to make a difference. And I think that's why Dubai is winning. You know, it's a small city, and when you have small land to cover, you have I would not say a small population. We can't say that. But when you have a small land, a manageable population, the city is going to be better. Because you know, the smaller something is, the more you're going to be able to interact with it, and the more you're going to be able to govern it and know what the people want. So I definitely agree with you in that sense.
Perfectly put, please. Yeah. And on that topic, let's move to the last story.
And finally, what is happening is that there are fake job interviews. People are receiving fake interviews. So basically from this group known as Brex Group, they are basically targeting job seekers in the UAE.
I also received that email.
No way! You received that email. You know what people are saying? Essentially that they're receiving the email. They go on the email, they fill out all their details, their name, their phone number, and then at the end, they receive like an OTP that has charged them 12 dirhams. Yeah. Now we all know, you know, maybe that amount, it's not significant, but if they're sending these emails to that many people, they're sending it to you.
They're earning in thousands, to be honest.
Yeah, they're earning their money. They're earning their money. Yeah. But do you think people feel about this?
To be honest, if you see, there's a lot of scams going on. It's just not just the job scams. It's a
not
lot of scams.
Brex Group.
So again, talking about the government policies, they're always highlighting these on their official channels that please beware. If anyone is asking for money randomly out of nowhere or for any services, just take a look at it. If it is official, go to the official website, go to the official social media channel, see if they have something in place, and then pay the money. Don't pay the money without thinking. And since you're saying it's a very small amount, but when sent it to thousands of people, we have a population of 3.5 million in the UAE. So even if like 1% of the population pays that amount, it's a lot of money. What I want to contribute to this part of the story, that job scams are happening. We've seen that on LinkedIn. A lot of people post a lot of things. Per se, it's not a scam. They just do it for likes and comments and interactions for their own LinkedIn profiles. But say, oh, like, comment, write your name, we'll see your profile and we'll give you a job. That is one another thing that is happening. But in a country which has so many opportunities, growth opportunities, a safe living environment, ravishing outdoors in the winters where you can always visit, I would say these were bound to happen. But again, people need to be careful. People have to keep an eye out on scammers and try to avoid them. That's the best you can do. There will always be scammers.
You know, when I look at this topic and I look at the previous topic we were discussing about Dubai winning, welcoming more people, I really think that people have, I know that we say, you know, Dubai, it's an oasis of opportunity, but I really think people have a more difficult time getting interviews, getting job interviews when an influx of people are coming to the country. And of course, I know a lot of opportunities, but maybe that's why they're going into these fake job interviews. See, they can't find jobs.
My point, who doesn't want to come here? Everyone wants to, take a piece of Dubai. So the good part is that gives you a very, very strong talent pool. Because if for one job, if for a very small job, hundreds and thousands of people are applying, that means that the country has something to offer. The job market has something to offer. And again, gives you a big talent pool, good thing. But sometimes good things, roses come with thorns. Yeah. So good things come with bad things. Avoid, I would just say, avoid. Never click on a link which you get through a message or some random WhatsApp number. Or even, if there is a number which doesn't tell me who it is, I don't pick up the call even.
Same.
Because
I don't. And
in the UAE, I've seen that Do and Etisalat, they've done a very good thing that if a number calls people very much, they identify it as a scammer. And sometimes you get a call or most probably a spam call or a spam message. So that's the good part as well. Again, government level decisions, helping the people of the country and the city. So just avoid, try not to waste your money on these scammers.
And with that being said, thank you so much for watching today. Thank you for being here today, Majid. And don't forget to tune in for tomorrow.